is this. The headset, I had a headset, but it kept falling off, which is not going to be terribly helpful today. Good morning, everyone. My name's Rebecca. I'm responsible for the worship in St. Mary's, and I'm training to be an associate lay minister.
Happy birthday to Toby.
No, try again.
Hey, hazelnut. In the hand is worth a bird in the bush.
No, here's a clue. Not all chocolate bars give you this.
Hey, hazelnut in. Time saves nine.
You'll just have to finish the whole topic.
Topic! A hazelnut in every bite. I remember.
Yes. Funny how you always remember right at the end.
Anyone remember that?
No.
So that voice of Toby, do you think he's a squirrel? For some reason, I imagined as a child he might be a squirrel, but I don't think he actually is, having looked at it again. His voice stayed in my mind for some time, to be referred to later in the sermon. Let's pray together. Thank you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. And thank you for that wonderful Ephesians scripture we have, that we pray for ourselves, that you give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, revealing and uncovering in getting to know you better. I pray, Heavenly Father, for all of us here now, that by your Spirit you blow upon us, that the eyes of our hearts be enlightened, that we may know you and the hope that you've put inside us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to also pray with my eyes open for a minute. I also pray that anywhere there's doubt, faith comes, and anywhere that there's coldness, God's warmth comes, and that we experience his fullness. There's so much more, as many of these songs have been saying, there must be more than this, talking about being in God's presence. And that's really what we're talking about today, looking at the word revelation, very briefly, and the word know, in the context of knowing God better. Happy? Mm-hmm. Should we go for it? Go on this journey. Yeah. Okay. So, one of my favourite verses, Isaiah 55. Come to the waters. Come buy, and the Amplified Version says, priceless spiritual milk without money and without cost. Simply accept it as a gift from God. And we do have that slide. It's number 2, if we could, Paul. Thank you. And the second one. Yeah, so we're called to come, everyone who thirsts. Everyone who thirsts. Sometimes we have to get in touch with the thirst because we're just going through our life in a busy way. But I do believe in all of us that everyone has that thirst. If you know you're thirsty, come. Jesus has already paid the cost. So that without money and without cost, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk, priceless. Another version says at the end, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Are you ready to accept God's blessing today? We're so good, aren't we, at the second of the two commandments. When Jesus summarized the commandments, he said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I feel like number 2 is the default mode, whereas number 1 maybe feels more mysterious. And how do we do that? How do we love God with all our hearts? Well, I really would like to share a little bit about that today. We're called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's up there as well. We're not just called into, we are called to good works. He's prepared in advance. But we're called into, could you all shout it out? Fellowship. We're called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. For some who like these words in particular, that is koinonia, sort of an all-round fellowship. A personal knowledge of. So I'd like to start by really affirming that knowing God better was his plan from the beginning. He didn't just save us to put us to work. He didn't just send Jesus to mean that we could have access to him in heaven only at the end of our earthly life, but to know him more today, now. And I want to affirm that God has, as it were, a storehouse of goodness and love and kindness for you all. And if you like, the story of God's kindness in my life is what furnishes me on the inside. And it's the receiving of that kindness that is a key. So And we will come back to Toby, the little guy, later on, or in that vein. I'm sorry I haven't got topic bars to hand out to everybody.
Oh, that'll be good.
Maybe I should have done. Maybe I should have topics everywhere. May we please look at the word revelation, please. So, apocalypsis, an uncovering, an unveiling or revealing, especially a manifestation of Christ. Now, I'm actually going to interview a couple of people today. Stephen, could I ask you first to share a little bit about an uncovering or unveiling that God's done in your life through the Bible?
Okay. I didn't want to retire. I rather liked working, and I couldn't imagine what I would do if I was retired, and so I said, I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to carry on working. Well, that really wasn't an option. And so how do I come to terms with this? And I was shown a verse in the Bible. I didn't know retirement was in the Bible. I said, Jesus never retired. And God said, well, he did die at 33. But in Numbers chapter 8 and verse 24 to 26, a verse I'd never read before, it says, this applies to the Levites. They were the church workers in those days. Men 25 years or old or more, shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting, but at the age of 50, they must retire from their usual duties and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. And it was a revelation. Yes, of course you should retire when you get too old, not 50 necessarily, but those were different times. But it doesn't mean you give up work, it means you help someone else doing it. You give over the responsibility, the main responsibility, but you help with the work. And that really was just such a flash of light from the Bible, and it helped me to cope with a difficult situation.
Thank you very much indeed. That's just such a wonderful example, isn't it? And the scripture itself actually was indeed the word perfect for your situation.
Yep.
So, if you like, you could say that's a scripture that was illumined. Maybe people here have or haven't had experience of reading maybe a psalm, and maybe there's a line about God being our refuge, and it just comes alive because you need a refuge right now, and you need him to be that refuge. And it just seems as if that was just for me. Has anyone ever had a line from maybe our songs in the worship time when you just sense, well, that's drawing me? Something about that is drawing me. So I'd just like to an exploration today of what that looks like a little bit when we're drawn and how we can just receive that inner knowing. Tim, I've got another punter. Come on up, Tim. And Emma, feel free to butt in. I've asked Tim what acknowledging and recognising God in his life looks like, what revelation looks like.
To me, so much of my encounter with God is in the ordinary, in the mundane kind of running of the mill of my life. When I'm sat in the car, when I expect least to hear from God, you hear just a little bit of him. And I think that's mostly about awareness. And through and through, I don't have big moments of revelation in my life. It's all through the kind of drip feeding of God's presence and God's hand on my life, and that's always been that way. And I think it comes of two things, because if you accept God is your Father and he's got his hand on your life, then actually you expect to see him everywhere, and that expectation and an awareness has meant that's guided all of my encounter. So mainly when I'm sat in the car, or I'm stuck in traffic on the M1, or when you see something in the world around you, you get just a little bit of his presence, or a little push in a direction or another.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Tim.
I think it's important to note as well that even Tim and I, despite being married, experience God very differently. So Tim is much more in the mundane and in the everyday, and I get that as well. But I also get it from the heart of worship. And that is when I truly meet with God. You may notice when the piano nearly hits the floor because I'm hitting it so hard, because I'm so in that zone. But, you know, Tim doesn't experience God in quite the same way that I do. But there's no right or wrong. It's just where God is in you.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic. In a sense, I just want to normalise God in our lives. Rather than It's very easy for me, having been quite formalistic in my background, just to kind of depersonalise God and turn him into a religious object. But actually, he's a person. We are made in his image. He is a person. And I've had to learn to respond to him person to person, rather than good girl to, if you see what I mean, to authority figure only. I totally acknowledge his majesty at the same time. May we also please look at, could we actually skip to number 5, please, Paul? Where I was going to show you about the word knowing, which is epinosis in the Greek for people who love the words. And that really means a discerning of God, the recognition of God, the intuition of God, and perception of him. So I'm now combining the two. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, uncovering, unveiling, in the knowledge, or could we say in the perception, the discernment, the recognition and intuition of God. Would you like that? I'd definitely like that. Just learning to notice him a little bit more, etc., etc. So that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And often people stop reading there, but read on. But he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So knowing God better is spiritually communicated, spiritually discerned. In Hebrew thinking, the word to know is Yoda, Y-A-D-A, not Yoda, whatever. Yoda. And it means to know. Thank you very much, that's great. And the Hebrew thinking tends to be very holistic and rounded, and we could say a dedicating of ourselves to a person so we can engage them in our love and affection. Then number 7, please, Paul. Here's the message version of Matthew 6:6. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense his grace. I'll come on to the next bit in a minute, but first I'd like to just read something from a man's journal. This is from a pastor in New York State. He took a long time, about a year, wanting to know God better. Looked up all the verses in the Bible about knowing God better, sensing him, discerning, intuiting, etc., recognizing and acknowledging God. And one day he was sitting and really listening and seeking to capture with his pen and pencil and paper what he thought the Holy Spirit might be saying. And I'd like to read it to you. This is, as it were, from the voice of God. I enjoy just being with you, not doing anything special together, just being together. I enjoy the fragrance of your worship. Times of solitude are peaceful to me. It is like a quiet brook flowing on the mountainside. I desire your presence. It is refreshing to me. It is the fulfillment of my purposes when you choose to be with me. It brings me great pleasure. Do it often. Do not think every time we come together it must be to accomplish something. Simply being together is the greatest accomplishment. Just being with one another. Come, let us enjoy one another. And I pondered on that and thought, the greatest accomplishment is just being together. Of course it is. Before the blood and the new covenant, we couldn't be together. Being together was impossible. We could not be together with God. So what Jesus, by Jesus' sacrificial giving up of his life, that bridge was made back to God and enabling us to be together. For the joy set before him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, etc. So we are God's greatest treasure. And indeed, in our Ephesians verse scriptures, it also says what God's inheritance is in his holy people. You're God's inheritance. Whoa! We tend to think of how much we've inherited. We've inherited salvation. We've inherited healing. We've inherited all the goodness that's in his name. But he's inherited us. I'm chuffed by that thought. I'm dead chuffed, in fact. I'm a northerner, really. I'm dead chuffed. God's inherited us. However, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, many of us will know this, Jesus looking over, weeping over Jerusalem. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. If you like, some people say the mothering heart of God. Yet you would not come. Oh, so sad, it's so sad. And a little bit more. Well, I'm going to skip that next bit. I'm going to go straight on to saying what a little bit of how meeting God was like in my life. From the age of about 17 onwards, I was subject to barrages of verbal abuse for a period of some time. Stuff like, you are too disgusting to be seen with. You are too disgusting to be out with. You've got no personality. How you got into Cambridge, I will never know. And then, at a later date, are you stunned? Everything about you is disgusting. The way you look, the way you dress, the way you speak, .. Together with some earlier sorrow from earlier in life, the result was break off, shut down. So carrying on functioning outwardly, as we do, and yet, kind of like a wilderness, an inner wilderness. I mean, I liked the song when Emma had, you know, blessed be the Lord in the, when I'm blah, blah, in the wilderness. And films we've seen, you know, World War I, kind of no man's land in the trenches. I felt like my inner landscape felt a bit like that. I cried out to God as a student and thought, God, give me access to you, because I knew he could help me. And I just felt this blank, nothing, nothing, nothing. But I was absolutely determined to find my way through to meaningful contact with him, because I knew he could help. I knew he was the one. He was the source who had the kindness and the love and the restoration. I just believed it. Saw it in some other people and thought, no, that's that drip, drip, drip of your love is for me. And I just would say, give me access to you. And once, just this little whisper, I could have missed it. It was so light. I could have written it off with my rational mind and said, that's rubbish. But there's a little whisper back. Give me access to you. And I thought, maybe it's I who am the veiled one. God's unveiled. He's told us in Hebrews, boldly approach the throne of grace and receive mercy and help. So God is there to give, but maybe it was I who was unable to receive. So I started to pray, God, help me receive then. Help me switch on this inner world so I can actually sense your reality. I sensed absolutely zilch reality of God. And it was very frustrating, as you can imagine. He led me to Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And it felt like an apt description of my inner life. Outer life. Woohoo! Ding, ding, ding. Well, not that much. My daughter would say, I say to her, don't do nothing I wouldn't. She says, that means I won't be doing anything. However, let me please read Ezekiel. The Lord showed Ezekiel a valley full of dry bones. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Amen. I used to feel a million miles away, as if I was functioning on the outside, but completely absent on the inside, and I'd be fighting for, like, I'm present but absent. God, help me become present. And I just prayed that verse regularly. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain emotions, etc., etc., thoughts. My self-esteem, even though I was successful academically and in sporty, musical, but my actual value of myself was very, very poor. I had no sense of worth and being loved or cherished. And I think that is what often keeps us away from the presence of God, not having a recognition of the value he sees in us. And so today I really believe God wants to call us away from our own thinking about ourselves. Another bit of Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. So today maybe there's a calling back to God. So for some, maybe it's come back to me. For some, maybe it's come away from your own thinking and your own ways, and let me give you my thinking and my ways. And here's where the little topic advert comes in. Hooray! What was the point of that, we ask ourselves. In this journey to try to come alive and to... I spent a lot of time, if you like, the drip, drip, drip of stalagmites and stalactites in an underground cave. And you get a drip and it calcifies, it hardens, it becomes rock, and gradually over years you get solid. So if my inner world was a bit like a cave, the drip, drip, drip of revelation truth, little bits from the Bible that came alive, love from brothers and sisters in Christ, renewing my mind to his ways and how he thinks, and that solidity gradually begins to form, a little bit here, a little bit there, as the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept, but very much through the breath of God working life on the inside. Please could we see 9. Oh, I didn't tell you about the topic. Oh yeah, sorry, cannot forget that. In this time of really searching for God in his presence and just savoring every little drip of life that would come, I just suddenly sensed again, light and easily cut off. I think that's what the voice of God is a bit like. So easily missed, but if we poise our inner world, we can capture him. A topic voice spoke to me, a Toby voice came, and remember, I like you. And at that thought, I like you, you can imagine a lot of stuff crumbling, a lot of constructs here crumbling. I don't have to do this religious stuff. I don't have to cut myself off and stay this cut off, inwardly isolated person. God likes me. God likes us. He likes what he bought and paid for. He loves us, and he likes us too. He calls us maybe away from our thoughts. As it says, let the wicked forsake their thoughts. He likes us. That's good news today. God really likes us, and he has great compassion upon us. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With cords of loving kindness, I have drawn you. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. He's saying that to some people here today. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. I'd like to pray in a moment, if you're agreeable to that at the end. It's, if anything's spoken to you today, just I would love to just pray before we sing our response song. The end of that Ephesians reading for today also says that God fills everything in every way. So let us be open to God filling everything in every way. You know, our inner landscape, parts of our lives, to fill everything in every way. I just want to just pause a minute and just stop and just breathe. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Welcome. Matt, could you come and share, please? I asked Matt if he had any insight for today's service, and he has, and I'd love him just to share it as we will put that into the pot for prayer.
So just as I was praying earlier in the week, I had two things that came to mind. The first was that this morning God might want to particularly meet with anybody that feels lonely, and that could be that you are physically lonely, you're by yourself, or you just feel lonely, even though you're surrounded by lots of other people, and the sense that God wants to speak into your life. And the other thing that came to me was from Jeremiah 33, verse 3, where God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." And just a sense this morning that actually it might be a bit scary. We might not want to trust those feelings inside us are actually from God. But actually, as we sit here this morning and as we maybe just even get a small glimpse of God's love for us, to trust that love and to step into that love and to let it change us like it did in Rebecca's life.
Thank you. Do stay as we pray. I just still want to pause just for a moment, everybody. Just give you a bit of space yourselves. Let's have a moment. Thank you, Lord.
Em, could you just play?
Father, I pray for our receivers to be healed and our expectation of you, that we can look out for you in our inner eyes. Father, just pray for receiving to come now like rainfall in the desert.
And Father, I pray that this morning, if there's anybody here that feels lonely, whether that's physically or whether they just even feel lonely this morning, they feel like they're all by themselves and there's no one else that can relate to them or understand them. And pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help those people to know your presence with them this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring comfort and peace and joy this morning. And Lord, I pray as well for all of us here that you would help us this morning to be brave and to listen to you, Holy Spirit. I pray that if you are speaking to us in any way this morning, that we'd help, that you'd help us to trust what you're doing in our lives. You'd help us to see you clearly and help us to believe that you really do love us and you really do care for us. And I pray, Lord, as well, that you'd give us the boldness and the confidence to speak into other people's lives as well, to encourage them and to strengthen them. Amen.